Well, we're on page 28, is that correct? Or are you on page 29? 28. Sometimes we're together. My old workbook doesn't exactly correspond to yours, because Tony Montragon, she retyped them and did all this, and by the way, she provided all this for you. So you need to thank her every now and then. Just think about her. Pray for her as we go along through this. All right, where did we finish off last week on number four? All right, number four. Let's look at it. Number four. Do you have any questions, by the way? Anybody have any questions? We're on page 28. It's chapter 10, the covenant. All right. And how do you say covenant? Yes. Number three? Okay. Number three. All right, number three. Turn to Genesis 9 and verse 3, by the way. The book of Genesis. What is the name, what is the Hebrew word for covenant? You Hebrew scholars? My Hebrew scholar isn't here this morning. What? No, that's means covering. Atonement, kafar is. That's good. What is covenant? How many of you remember what covenant is? No? What? What?
It's a promise.
Well, no, but what is the Hebrew word for it? Hebrew word for covenant. And what does it mean? And then we're going to look at the Greek word for it. See, this is a test today. All right. It's berith. All right. Berith, which means a cutting. All right. Which means a cutting. And what is it in Greek? Diatheke. Diatheke, which means a separation or a cutting. All right. That's what it means. A cutting. And what they did is they took animals and they killed them as a sacrifice and divided the animal in half, put one on each side of a blanket, and they walked between. And back at that time, they would shake each, give each other their shoes as a promise. All right.
Can you write berith on the board and the diatheke on the board?
All right. Berith. It's something like this. All right. It's either I or E there. And then diatheke. It's something like that. All right, diatheke. And they both mean a division or a covenant or a cutting. All right. Now, we're jumping ahead just a little bit, but God made a covenant with Israel, didn't he? Didn't God make a covenant with Israel? And how was a covenant, how was it, what did they do when Israel made the covenant? What happened at the end of it? How did they sign it? How did they seal it? By sacrifices and a cutting. All right? All right. Remember that. And when you think about a cutting, you think about the shedding of blood. It always, that covenant is not made without a shedding of blood. Now, Jesus Christ, when he signed the covenant with man, God signed the covenant in his own blood on the cross of Calvary, didn't he? All right. All of those sacrifices up until that time only typified what would happen to Jesus. Now, Genesis 9 and verse 3. What did God now allow concerning meats for food? Genesis 9 and verse 3. Genesis. And what does the word Genesis mean?
Beginning.
Beginnings. It's the book of beginnings. It's Barashith. It shouldn't be in beginning, but in beginnings created God the heavens and the earth. All right? In beginnings, the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. All right. Now, the book of Genesis, the word Genesis, what word does that come from? It's not Barashith, is it? That's from the Greek Septuagint, Genomai, for beginnings. All right. That's where we get the names. All right. Beginnings. Brother Randall, I got something for you before I forget. All right, Genesis 9 and 3, who has that? You have that, Brother Wally?
Yeah. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food for you, even as the green herb have I given to you all things. but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat.
All right. Life with the flesh with blood in it, you're not supposed to eat. Because the blood, remember how God created Adam? Adam? How did he create Adam? I want someone to tell me how God created Adam. Did he create Adam from the dirt of the ground? Huh?
From the elements.
No. He didn't create him from the dirt, did he?
No.
He created him from the same elements as he created the dust of the ground. Now, people have this idea that God made man from a mud doll. He did not make man from a mud doll. He created man from the same elements. He's a primary creation of God. The elements that God created dirt from, God created. They came from God. And man is a primary creation of God, not a secondary. He wasn't created from something else. He was created from the same elements that he created the dust of the ground from. Now, I bet that's the first time some of you heard that. That's Hebrew. All right? And then he breathed into him the breathings of lives. And one Hebrew scholar, well, several of them said, what did God breathe into Adam? What did he breathe into him? What gave him life? What?
Blood.
He breathed in him blood, and he became a living nephesh, or soul, at that time. He became living. He was just there. Everything was there. But he breathed into him the breathings of lives, plural. Your life went into Adam then. Right there. Your life was in Adam. He breathed into him the breathings of lives, plural. Okay? And that's very beautiful. Now, that blood represented something very holy. Because that blood came from where? God. Okay? Now, what blood, all the animals after man had sinned, all the blood that was ever shed by any animal typified what? The atonement, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ that would be our cure.
Shadow.
It was a shadow of things to come. All right. Genesis 9 and 3, it tells you that then animals became food for man, but never before. Now, this is after the landing of the ark. Man was not supposed to eat animals before that. We find out from the book of Enoch, if it is accurate, okay? In the book of Enoch, what does it say about the Nephilim that were on the earth at that time? What were they doing? They were killing animals and eating them, and they were killing humans and eating them, and they were drinking people's blood, which was in direct violence. That's where you get the vampire stories and everything. It's from this, the Nephilim, all right? From whatever, how accurate it is in the book of Enoch, I do not know. But it goes back to at least 300 B.C. And there are very many references in the Word of God, and we studied them as we looked at the Nephilim. But they were flesh-eating beings, and according to Enoch. And they were taking flesh and blood to eat before God gave them the right to do it. Now, the animals didn't even eat each other at that time. The animals got along just fine in the ark, but after the animals walked out of the ark, things changed. Their whole digestive system changed. Man's digestive system changed. And different races of mankind are different. Did you know that? About what they ate. When I was going to college, I was going to medical school also. I had this doctor, and he had a medical training school. And I went there, and we were talking about different things. And he was in holistic medicine, which is good. But he was just a little bit overboard in some ways, you know, which mankind is an extremist, isn't he? We run from one side to the other. We don't go out there in the middle someplace where truth is and where common sense is. We've got to run from to the other side. Well, he had gone a little bit too far, and the school was, and everybody had to be a vegetarian. Well, I'm Native American people. I mean, my people ate meat for thousands of years. And I was on basically a vegetarian diet for a couple of years, maybe 3 years, that I had eaten very, very little meat at all. And I was very unhealthy. My nerves were totally shot. I was in a mess. I went to my regular doctor, and he looked at me, and he said, Jim, he said, your nervous system is just shot. He said, what are you doing to yourself? I said, well, I've been all vegetarian. He said, well, I'm, you know, mostly a vegetarian. He said, I only eat meat once or twice a week for all my life. But he said, I'm an Indo-European. He said, what are you? Well, I said, I'm Indian. He said, what do your people eat for thousands of years? I said, they eat a very high protein meat diet. He said, if you eat the same diet that they eat, you're going to die. He said, you better go get you a big steak today when you get home and eat that thing. And he said, I'm going to give you some vitamin B, and you know what? I got better right away. And from that time on, I knew your body talks. You better listen to your body. And that's when I began to listen to what my body says. But mankind was not even given any meat to eat until after that ark landed. Period. All right. Now, different pieces, people, that's why the Native American people on the reservations, they gave them commodities, and they were dying at 40 years old of old age and disease. You know why? Because those commodities are very high in starches. They could not eat that. They didn't figure that out. Just in the last few years, they figured out what's happening, why the Indians are all dying. The commodities and stuff they'd give them. Well, getting back to the lesson, Genesis 9 and 3 says that they are going to have animals to eat. Number 4, clean and unclean animals were the reference to those to be offered for clean and unclean animals were with reference to those to be offered for sacrifices, not regarding the eating of animals. Period. It didn't have anything to do with the eating of animals, clean and unclean at that time. It was an animal that could be sacrificed and those that could not be sacrificed. Number 5, all right, what did God command with reference to eating blood? Supposed to eat blood? No. Why? Why were they not to eat blood? Because life is in the blood, number one, and that every animal's blood that was shed was the type of what to come? Of the Christ atonement, His atoning blood. All right. So, no blood was to be eaten. Number 6. Blood is referred to as the what? The life of the flesh. Was Adam a living being before God put blood in him? Before he breathed into him? And just think, what do your lungs do?
Breathe.
What?
They breathe.
They breathe. They get oxygen. But how is it? Where is the oxygen transferred from your lungs?
Into the blood.
Into the blood. And so they are basically, lungs are a bloody mass in there, aren't they? So just think about how. Now, Brother Lee, there was a book written by M.R. DeHaan, The Chemistry of the Blood. Remember we talked about that?
Right.
You can read that book. That thing will really shed a lot of light on this in The Chemistry of the Blood. No blood was to be eaten. Number 6, blood is referred to as the life of the flesh. The life of the flesh. Now, when your heart quits beating, what happens? You're dead. No blood flows. When you have a congestive heart failure, you have real problems, don't you? All right. Now, the covenant was reemphasized in Genesis 9, 7 through 11. Who has Genesis 9, 7 through 11? Are you anyone there? Genesis 9, 7 through 11. Brother Randall, are you there? Genesis 9, 7 through 11.
As for you, be fruitful.
Okay, real loud now.
As for you, be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you.
All right. Now, what were they supposed to do? The sons of Noah.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Be fruitful and multiply. All right. And by the way, if you get on down here, you'll find that they were supposed to spread out. All right. Look at this. Scatter and multiply. Scatter and multiply. But we have a problem with this. We're going to find out later on. They didn't want to scatter. They wanted to build big cities. Now, anytime you have big cities, you have what?
Sin.
Sin and crime. You always have mankind to mess with other men. trying to use them, abuse them, and make slaves out of them. And every ancient society where they had large cities and heavy populations, we have slavery. And what is slavery? For one thing, it's sin. But why is it sin?
Well, it's trying to get around the idea that we have to work for everything.
That's right. If you can get enough slaves, then you don't have to work. You can get out from under the curse of God. What was the curse that God put upon Adam after he sinned? By the sweat of your nostrils, you will make your living. And what did Cain do? He had Cain and Abel. What did Cain do? He was a tiller of the ground, and he flaunted his ability to overcome the curse of God, and he brought a cursed offering from a cursed ground and offered it, didn't he? And the wrong amount, too. And how did God look upon that offering? From a cursed ground. He did not have any respect to it whatsoever. And then he ended up killing his brother. And how did Cain's descendants overcome the double curse that was put upon him? God cursed the ground doubly because of Cain. But what did they do? They invented slavery. All right. Number 8. What physical sign did God give of His covenant regarding not destroying the earth again by flood? What was it? The rainbow. All right, every time you see a rainbow out there, that's a sign of the covenant of God. Now, that sign of the covenant was with man and what? And all the animal kingdom also. God made it with mankind and the animal kingdom. He promised them that they would never destroy the earth again by water. But what is going to destroy the earth the next time? What?
Fire.
All right. The opposite. Number 9. How many people were saved from the flood? 8. How many actually made it through the flood? 9. Who's the 9th one?
Enoch.
All right. Because he was raptured. We're going to have a flood of judgment again upon the earth. And there is going to be... Now, later on, we have another man that was raptured, taken up to God, and not he didn't see death, did he? What was his name? Elijah. All right? And that's Jehovah is God. That's what his name means. Elijah was raptured up. He did not see death. And in the, if you look over here on this map of God's plan of the ages, you'll find out right at the end of the church age, there is a rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. You look at all these verses here, and it tells you about it. And then judgment comes upon the earth. Now, what carried God's people up out of the judgment at the flood? What carried them up?
The ark.
The ark. All right. And what carried Enoch up? He didn't see it, did he?
God took him
up. All right. So we see that. So 8 people were saved from the flood. Noah, that's the one you write in there. His wife, Mrs. Noah, all right. And his sons, Shem, all right. His sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their Mrs. Ham, and Mrs. Shem, and Mrs. Japheth, all right. You see all of them there. All right. Now, we've looked at their names a little bit. What does Shem mean? What does Shem mean? Keep this in mind because this is very important. What does Shem mean? Name or monument. Because through the line of Shem would God bring forth His Messiah. All right? That's the faith line, what we call the faith line, or the line of the Messiah. And how about Ham?
Name or
monument. Okay, name or monument is Shem. Now how about Ham? Okay. Swarthy or dark. Swarthy or dark. And then Japheth. Spreading. They spread all over. Japheth did. Spreading. Now, in the book, Bible by Ages, it talks about them being white people. They were the lighter, but there were some darker ones in there too. Some of them have darker complexions also. Now, the book is racially biased. I want you to understand that because it's written by an old-time Southern Baptist, which was a segregationist and a racist. As simple as that. And that's a fact. That's why we're called Southern Baptists. Is we were in the South, and we stood for slavery. That's not a good historical thing, but it's truth. You can't get around your history. That's just the way it is. We don't have to practice that today. They'll do it. All right, we can have a little better revelation. All right, number 10. Describe the incident involving Noah and his sons, which became the basis of the national blessing of Noah's sons. Noah, all right, in the Word of God. Let's go there. In Genesis. The ninth chapter, Genesis chapter 9. Now, there's a lot of conjecture in this also, in these verses. And people have done a lot of commenting and speculating on this. In Genesis, ninth chapter and verse 18, let's read that. Who's got New American Standard? Anybody got New American Standard in this?
I do.
You do. Okay, there. Fernando.
Now the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan.
Go ahead, brother.
These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated.
From these the whole earth was populated. All right, we have to remember now, we all go back to Noah. Every one of us go back to Noah. All of the races go back to Noah. Number 20.
Then Noah began farming. And
he began to farm. Mm-hmm. He began to farm. All right. And
he planted a vineyard. He drank from the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent.
Okay, now let's go back right here. We have to understand this. Now cross-reference this over here to where we are. Okay, Genesis 9. You can go back and look at this. 18 onward here. Now, let's look at some of the things that we see here. First of all, that Noah began farming. They began farming. You know, before, God had planted a garden, hadn't he? And everything was set there for mankind, and now mankind, the whole, everything's all messed up. We have a flood. Not only, but the earth has changed now. Before this period of time, Noah was over 900 years old. And I mean, when he died, wasn't he? And the boys were pretty old. Why did they live those long periods of time before the flood? Remember that the earth was here, was earth, what we call Pangea or Gondwana. Earth was here and water was here on the earth. Now there were springs and rivers. We see basically the Fertile Crescent was back over there. It mentions some of the rivers that were there, that are still in existence today, but water was flowing, and water, they could get water out of the rivers to drink, but how was the land watered before that period of time? What happened?
Dew.
All right. In other words, it was a greenhouse effect. They really didn't have to put water on anything to make it grow. But now, after the flood, things changed. Now we have to have irrigation.
Save us a lot of money if we could.
Yeah, well, it would be nice if we went back over here, but mankind got in trouble, and he wasn't busy enough, so God had to keep your hands busy. You have to keep your hands busy. Idleness is the devil's workshop, isn't it? All right. And evidently, that's what the problem was. Well, anyway, we have the earth as it stood before Noah, and there was an ocean in the sky. The whole earth was covered by an ocean around it, in the air. And there was a breathing space in the middle of air, oxygen, and it was real good oxygen. The sunlight was filtered. Totally different than it is today. Now, Noah, things changed after the flood. Now, in the New Testament, the word for wine is oinos. And the word for grape juice is gematosaisonpleu. Okay? We have this. Okay? Which means fruit of the vine. Okay? Now, the fruit of the vine that we have here, evidently, I do not believe that it fermented before the flood. You could take your grape juice and you could save it from your grapes, and there probably wasn't the seasons. I think that the plants probably just How many of you in the last couple of years, now this I've seen this on our farm, that you have two or three crops of grapes in 1 year? They just keep on producing, keep on producing, keep on producing. Last year we had one grapevine. It put on grapes, and then it put on grapes again, and it put on grapes again. Just kept on going, just repeating itself. And sometimes, and maybe this winter, if we don't have a winter like we have so far, maybe even the bananas will grow on the banana trees. Because it's not cold enough. Of course, it got chilly last night. But things were different. And after the flood, evidently the grape juice fermented. And when grape juice ferments, what do you have?
Wine.
You have wine. In other words, it's got alcohol in it. Well, Noah got thirsty. Evidently, out working hard in the oil and out on the farm, irrigating his farm and whatever he was doing with it. However, and we know that he had grapes, and he drank a lot of grape juice, which he had probably done before in his life. But what happened to him this time? He was inebriated. He got drunk. He got drunk. He drank of wine and became drunk. Now, this was intoxicating now. Wasn't intoxicating before, probably. Most Bible scholars believe this. Okay. By the way, what causes it to ferment?
The beet sugar.
Well, the sugar is what makes wine. I mean, what makes alcohol. Sugar is what makes it. Okay. It spoils, and that's what we call leaven. Leaven in the Bible is always a type of what?
Sin.
The leaven causes the wine. They put yeast in beer and in wine to make it, to help it ferment. Okay? And that's what causes the chemical structure to change from sugar into alcohol.
What ferments the wine? They add something to it?
Well, they add something to it also. Now, it'll ferment on its own, basically, if they leave it alone. Because after the flood, it became leavened. All right? Now, let's look at this. And Noah began farming, planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. In other words, he must have got hot and uncovered himself.
Yeah.
All right? And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. All right. Ham, the father of Canaan. Now, some people think that he committed a sinful act when he did this, besides just seeing him. Okay, that's one of the things. This might have been the first origin of homosexuality. We don't know. But
there's nothing in the Hebrew to indicate one way or the
other. Yes, it does.
It does.
Yes. That's where it comes from there. Then it says, Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away so that they did not see their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his drunken state. Okay? That's what it means.
Hangover.
He had a hangover. All right? And he knew what his youngest son had done to him. Now, that's why, how would he have known?
Maybe he was making fun of his nakedness.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, and he said, what? What did Noah say? In verse 25. Cursed be Canaan. Now, why didn't he curse Ham? Huh? Why didn't he curse Ham? Who did it?
Ham.
Why didn't he curse Ham?
Well, tell us.
Well, first of all, he would have cursed himself. Wouldn't he? Your children are an extension of you, aren't they? So he could not directly have cursed Ham, could he? Not only because he would have been cursing himself. He only cursed one child of Ham, which was Canaan. And this is absolute prophecy. This is prophetically what was going to happen in years to come. Now, God evidently had something to do with this. Somehow he revealed to Noah that this son, that these children would become very bad through his grandson. It's cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. Now, in the book, the Bible in the Ages, it says that all dark races are cursed. All of them are to be servants to the other people. Well, that's what it says in the book. All right, but that's not what it says in the Word. It says in the book, the Bible by Ages, that all dark races are stronger, and they were, and God made them to be servants and hard workers, not to be smart, but hard workers. All right. And that's what Southern Baptists believed for a long time. That's where this came from. All right? And so many people believe that down through the years. But who was Canaan? Who was Canaan?
Grandson.
His grandson of Noah. But what land would Canaan build? Where would he go?
Where Israel is today.
Where Israel is today. The land of Canaan.
Yeah.
Now, when this is looking forward, I want you to see how far-sighted God is in this thing. Now, he revealed to Noah that somehow Canaan's descendants would be a worthless bunch of trash. Basically, rats. They would be idolaters. They would be homosexuality, they would be totally sinful, they would sacrifice their children as living sacrifices, they would eat blood, they would do all the bad things that they were not supposed to do. This line of Ham's descendants would do this, and they would be in the land of Canaan. And he also revealed to Abraham later that his children would become captive for 400 years. And would be in a land, and they would become servants and slaves. They got a little taste of it. Okay, for 400 years. But they would be taken out of that land by a mighty hand, by God's mighty hand, and they would be brought back into the land of Canaan, and they would possess a land that they did not what?
Settle.
That they didn't settle, that they didn't cultivate, and they would be in houses that they didn't build. Because Canaan would be a servant to them in that state. And by the way, that people are no more. They're gone. Basically, the Canaanites are gone. Period. The curse is gone. It was established. It happened. God looked upon them, looked down through time. How many of you have heard? Well, I know you've heard me teach this before, but how many of you ever heard that this was a prophecy of what would happen when Moses took Israel in the land? The prophecy was fulfilled then. All the black people weren't supposed to be slaves in Africa and whatever, as so many people looked upon it. You can be religiously wrong too. Okay? All right, let's go on a little bit further. And Noah woke from his wine. He knew that his youngest son had done to him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan, servant of servants, and he shall be to his brothers." All right. He also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Shem. That means name or monument, doesn't it? That's God was going to bring the Messiah to them and through that people, which would become Israel later on. All right. And it said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." God prophesied that Israel would come into the land of Canaan so many hundreds of years later, and they would possess the land of Canaan. Ham's son, Canaan. And they would take the land, and of course they would be the servant. You're going to go in there? And what did the... there were two spies that went into the land of Canaan, and they came back with a good report. Who were they?
Caleb and
Joshua.
Joshua.
And what did they see? A land flowing with what?
Milk and honey.
And we didn't have to plant the vineyards. We didn't have to do anything. But this was a curse. because God knew what kind of people they would be. Now, he didn't make them be that way. I want you to understand that. He didn't make them do that. This is what we call foreknowledge of God. Sometimes in hyper-Calvinism, they have God creating and making people sin and making them sinners from birth. You know, Judas in the Old Testament, well, he was the only prophet, he was the only disciple of Jesus that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Judas was the only one that was prophesied. Why? Because he would be the one that would betray the Messiah. Now, God didn't make him do that. God saw that he would do that. All right. He didn't make him in that mold, but he saw that he would do that. Now, he didn't make these Canaanites bad. They became bad because they wanted to be bad. Simple as that. That's what they did. And they were the most ravenous, hateful people in the land. And God said to wipe them out. Kill every man, woman, and child.
Is there any remnants, do you think, today of the Canaanites or the, you know, like Agar, the Amalekite? Are they from the Canaanites?
Most Bible scholars think that the Canaanite race is completely gone today.
Okay.
All right. That's what I've read. It's complete. The Palestinians, these are from a different time. These are from Esau's descendants, and the Moabites, which was what?
Incestuous relationship
with Lot. Now, these are the descendants of them, and we find out that Abraham's other wife that he had, she had a lot of children, and they are the fathers of the people that were in the land of Canaan. But the Canaanites, the ancient Canaanites, basically are gone. They don't exist today, and the curse was taken care of. That curse is finished. It didn't make slaves out of anybody else from that time on. That was this people only. All right? This people only that were to be slaves. And may God enlarge Japheth. All right? And let him dwell in the tents of Shem. All right? And this is during the dispersion. Oh, I talk about prophets. This chapter right here prophesies for thousands of years. I want you to understand that. This is a tremendous prophecy right here. This covers, now here it is, way back over here. Right here. And it's prophesying what would happen here. Look at here. From here to here in time. And that's hundreds of years. And not only that, but it's prophesying that Shem would dwell in the tents of Japheth. In the houses, in the dwelling places of Japheth, when God would disperse Israel. When he used the Roman Empire to disperse them, Ezekiel 36:16-19. Ezekiel wasn't even born. But here we have the first prophecy of that. How many of you ever looked at this? This is quite a prophecy that covers thousands of years. And it's all right here in this prophecy that you're reading here. Let Canaan be a servant. May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. All right? Would they? Sure they would. And Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died just as dead as if he lived 35. He was dead. Why did he die? Because of the curse that his father, Adam, had brought upon the race. All right. Now let's go on. Noah drank wine, was drunk, and uncovered his tent. Now this is what's the end of number 10. All right. Shem and Japheth took a garment, put on the shoulders and back, and covered their father. And then number 11. Describe the curse placed upon Canaan, the son of Ham. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren, and characteristic of the dark and swarthy should be menial tasks requiring great physical strength. And there we have it. You can mark that out. Now, that's what the textbook said, but that's not what happened. Canaan, his descendants were to be servants, and they were servants, and they fulfilled that curse. Number 12. Describe the blessings placed upon Shem and Japheth. Shem and Japheth. The blessings placed upon them. And I've told you this little short story before, but I'm going to tell it to you again because I think it's very important. The dark races invented almost everything that's ever been invented. Ever major invention idea that has ever been invented, the dark races invented it. The Japhethites perfected it. And the Shemites made money on it. And that's the absolute fact. What does it mean? That is the curses. And that is the blessing of these people. The dark races, the descendants of Ham, were very inventive in what they did. Do you not realize that they invented music? They invented musical instruments. They invented many of the basic inventions that we have. The Japhethites basically improved those and perfected them. And then, how has God blessed Israel, the descendants of Shem? Brother Brett, you told me something the other day. You told me that every Jew you ever saw was what?
Rich.
And then if it became a Jewish Christian, what was he?
He's super rich and smart.
Super rich and smart and blessed. That's facts. These are historical facts. You know, the Jews were very, very much persecuted during the Dark Ages, in the dispersion, and they dwelt in the tents of Japheth all over the place. And in Spain, in Italy, how many of you know that some Jews came over here with Christopher Columbus trying to escape the persecution over there when they first came to America?
I even heard that Christopher Columbus had Jewish blood in him. I don't
may
know
have.
If that's true or not.
I don't know.
He was a redhead.
Well,
one thing. Jewish people, at least in modern times, have been very inventive. In fact, the atomic system.
Yes.
Einstein was Jewish.
Uh-huh.
That would be just a little be more inclusive than just the black people thinking.
Yeah, we know that. But I mean, I'm talking about all the basic inventions of mankind. But now God has blessed the Jewish people in so many ways. Even though they were kept from education, all kinds of stuff. Well, Einstein, he was the father of modern science, basically. We see him, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, his formulation and everything. And we, Marilyn. Anyway, we see some great inventions. We see the blessings of God upon them. What happened? What has happened since that? Do you see how the world has changed because of Einstein? Because of certain things that happened in history? Do you think God inspired these things? And do you think that He helped it along and blessed them? How did Israel get back in the land? They basically bought it.
Well, yeah, and Hitler run them out.
Yeah, but God used Hitler to make them want to go home. That's right. He used Hitler to make them want to go home. And whose orders did Hitler follow?
The old devil.
Whose orders did Hitler follow?
Martin Luther.
Martin Luther called for the imprisonment of all Jewish people and the extermination of them when he set up the state church in Germany. And then, hundreds of years later, we have Hitler put it in force. Exactly what he called for.
Stalin helped out a little too.
Yeah. We see all this. But you know what God has done? It is a miracle that the Jewish people are in the world today. But God is going to bless them, and He's going to bring them back into their land, which He has. They haven't possessed Jerusalem yet. When they do that, boy, the end is near. All right. Let's look at this. Noah lived 350 years after the flood, 950 years old, and he died. And then we're going to, next week, we're going to go into number 14, and we're going to look at that. What is the date? The 25th. All right. Do you have any questions before I turn this over to David? David Lynn, the Bratcher, that is.
Jim,
I got two David Lynns here. Yes, brother. Yes.
Had nothing to do with the Jehovah's Witness stay out, drinking blood and stuff like that.
No.
They don't take blood back to you.
Well, now there, by the way, well, you brought that up. Almost forgot it. I did a class on Jehovah's Witnesses with Mike McBroom. We did 9 classes. If any of you are interested in those, we have them in DVD, which are worth, they're $50 for the whole thing, plus you get a little textbook to go with it. There's 9 hour and a half classes on here or so, and then CDs are about $23 or something like that for the whole set of them. I've got some DVDs if you're interested in that, and tells you about that. The Jehovah's Witness went to seed on this blood deal, and they tried to say, you know, a long time ago when they gave you transfusions, they called it feeding you through the veins. They took that and said you're going to eat in blood. Well, a transfusion is not feeding you through. It's not feeding you. You're not eating blood. All right? It's to keep you alive or whatever. And they want to seed on that. And so that is kind of nullified in what it reality in reality is. You're not eating it through your mouth, are you? Cariestio, eating it down your throat. You're putting it in there because you've had some kind of catastrophic accident or surgery or something. Anything else? No? What?
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you for your attention and endurance of those hard seats. Nothing complaining, isn't it? All right.